This is the Morning Crossfire on 92.3 Nigeria Info.
All right, so yesterday there was a Thanksgiving service, and a politician was there. I don't know how it works, but you know, we have to thank God. We love God. We're secular states, but we're Christian and we're Muslim. I'm still trying to wrap my head around that. And every time we have these Thanksgiving services or this church visits, politicians take the stage and they speak. And many times the things that they say seem to divide more than unite. So this morning we're going to church. I've got a bishop with me in the studio. We're going to talk. Right, Reverend Okechukwu Precious Nwala, JP, is the Bishop, Diocese of Eche. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Thank you for your time. All right, so would you say that the church has been more or less of a problem to where we are now as a nation? The church has contributed more to the problems or less to the problems we're facing as a nation?
I would kind of say that part of the reason why we are is the political infiltration into the church. Nigerian policies have rather affected the vision and mission of the church in Nigeria. If you cast your mind back, you remember that what we call school in Nigeria is the brainchild of the missionaries. Mm. The first hospital.
The ones that came to give us the Bible and take our land.
The first hospital in Nigeria, the first school in Nigeria were established by the missions. The government took over the schools, and those days, education and morality we are inseparable. Mm. In fact, where I come from, if you don't go to church on Sunday and go to school on Monday, they will punish you. Okay. So morality was an integral part of our curriculum those days. But since government took over schools, I said in some quarters that the land that bred corruption in Nigeria is government take over schools. My father is a retired teacher.
Okay.
He told me that in 1967, when he began to teach, it was the responsibility of the headmasters to pay salary. So headmasters go to the educational authority and carry money with their bags, come to school, and according to your records, whether or not you perform well, teachers will be paid. At the end of the month, they will carry the balance and return to government.
Okay.
Now, that doesn't make sense today. So I think that the politics has rather hindered to a great extent the mission of the church. If the government partners with the church in terms of education and other governmental policies, the nation will be better for it.
But they tell us also that the people that you see in church are in society, and if they're not good church people, then they mess up society. And also those people that become politicians and make these policies, they're also in society. And around here, we have, you know, fewer Muslims, we have more Christians, and yet we see that the decay is deep.
There are two things here. Mm-hmm. I have just told you that most of those we have now as politicians, we are not trained by the mission. Up till now, you see, the world is not so bad that you do not have good people. Okay. Up till now, when you meet those who went through mission schools, when you meet them, their attitude to life, my father, by the grace of God, is still alive, he's 79. Okay, if you meet them, their attitude to life are not the same with those who left university. In fact, some of them were students union activists. And as I speak with you, politics influence, even for you to become a students union president, you have to belong to the party.
Mm.
Now, when that person leaves university, straight to counselor, straight to chairman of local government, what do you expect? So it's not about the church. It's about the kind of society we find ourselves. You know, we don't have to generalize. You know, the church is like a hospital for sinners. Okay? You can't drive. If a madman comes to the church and is not disturbing anybody, don't drive him away. The church belongs to everybody. God is the father of both the sinners and the righteous. So we tend to generalize when we say that politicians also go to, well, they should come to church. But the truth is, what kind of background? You know, there is a saying Forgive me to be a little crude here. There is a saying that if you take a goat and to the university, it will become a graduate goat. Mm. It will not become a graduate human being. So the foundation matters.
No, hold on. So if the church is a hospital like you claim, and they're taking goats there, can they treat them? Can they get better?
And there are so many. There are so many in church that have had the gospel and they have changed. As a bishop, and I can tell you, I follow up a lot of people. I relate to everybody, both high and low. There are people, you know, when you are a teacher in the classroom, at the end of the session, you set your questions, you find that somebody gets 10%, another person gets 80%. They are in the same class. Mm. Okay? What's important is that the church is not relenting. We are doing everything we can to ensure that sound doctrine and discipline is part of our mission. We are not compromising it.
Okay.
But what somebody does out of what he learned is
so there's a matter of allowing politicians handle the microphone in churches. I don't know what it was like when you were a boy in the Anglican church, you know, or maybe in the Catholic church, you know, when we had just Orthodox, you know, churches. I don't know what it was, but I don't know if it's a Pentecostal thing or it's a New Age thing. What are your thoughts on that? Because we've heard some of the most, you know, disturbing remarks during some of those events.
You know that there is a relationship between the church and government. Mm. It's not about whether it's Orthodox or Pentecostal. Any church, the Bible says we should pray for our leaders. Mm. We have spiritual leaders, we have secular leaders, and they work together. And God is the ultimate leader. Mm. As a whether it's a Christian or Muslim institution, the leader should open his doors to anybody coming to the church. But when they have the opportunity to speak, what they say is they are responsible. The church is not responsible for what the politician says in church. But as for allowing him come to church, why not? It's biblical. The Bible enjoins us to do so. And it's a privilege for us to pray for him. Where you hold the church responsible is after he has spoken, what is the church's response? Mm-hmm. Or why he comes to church, what did the church tell the person? So if I see a politician and maybe changes my message because a politician is there, then you can blame me. But as for opening my doors to the politician, it's my responsibility, and then to pray for them. Sometimes we have had them come to speak and the pastor takes microphone and makes a remark that tend to counter or tend to, you know, prepare people's mind, you know, kind of modify what they have said. So it is not the duty of the church. You know, your reaction to people's opinion about you is your responsibility. People's opinion about you is their own responsibility. If, for example, I call you a thief, okay, I am responsible. Everybody will be, see, words are powerful. We are created in the image of God. Whatever you say, you will account before God. That is the truth. Okay? So if I say you are a thief, I am responsible for what I have said. Okay? But if you now, in response, kill me with a machete, you are also responsible for killing me. Mm. The court will not exonerate you because I called you a thief. Mm. Because there are normally, so the politician is responsible for what he has said.
And the people will not exonerate the church for allowing the politician have that platform to speak.
No. They have to. They have to, because the people should judge the church from the point of view of our ethics. Does the Bible permit the church to open their door for politicians? That's the issue.
Yeah,
that's
opening your door is one thing. Allowing them to stand on the stage.
No. As for example, let me give you an example. As a governor of a state or a president of a country, okay, now, if there is independent service, I am under obligation to attend the service, mm-hmm, and pray for the government. Now, during that service, the service will not hold in government house. It will hold in the church. And the governor has time to speak. It's part of our routine. Mm. So on the course of that speech, the church is not responsible for what the president or vice president or the governor says. The governor himself is responsible. And they have reasons for what they want to say. I know politicians. It's like businessmen. When a businessman comes to your house, it's your brother, it's your in-law, he comes for traditional marriage, mm, he will find one way or the other to sell his market. Okay, so you don't blame them. The church is not responsible at all.
All right, you're just tuning in. We're having a chat with Right Reverend Okechukwu Precious Wala JP. He's the Bishop Diocese of HA. Let's talk about education. You mentioned that, you know, some of the best, you know, people were trained by missionaries. But I also know that some of those who were trained by missionaries also got into education. So where is the disconnect today?
There are policies. You see, the problem of Nigeria is the willpower. The willpower, political power to implement policies. You know, if I am a vice chancellor, see, today, appointments, you know, more than I do. They are not strictly on merit. In fact, those people you think have some level of integrity may not even near the office today in today Nigeria. That's the issue. Number two, there are policies you have to implement. People put you there, and they have put policies in place for you to implement. So you can only carry out your activities within, I'll give you an example quickly. I'm not being biased here. Since Professor Mekulu Ndimele became the VC of Ignatius Ajuri University of Education, go and find out. I'm not here to sing his praises. Go and find out. Find out from students. See, we interact with students. I am a father by the grace of God. I have people in all the universities and beyond. Okay? Hear from the students. Leave for political gymnastics. Carry out public opinion about that school. So he has been giving open hand. Go and find out yourself. What's happening there?
We have people there as well. So
good.
I'm not sure if I want to engage on that level.
Yeah, but at least you cannot say it will be unfair both to the state government and to himself and the school to say that the school is worse than he met it. No, it will be unfair. Nobody is perfect. But it will be very, very unfair to say the school is worse. So what I'm saying is that if you are giving free hand, okay, if the policies, you know, are relevant to the need of the time, I am sure, and if the right persons are appointed.
But you already said that when it comes to that appointment, usually it's not based on merit. So where do we get to that part of the conversation where you say if the right persons are appointed, but will they ever be appointed?
Now the governor of River State has put the right person. He has given him free hand, and look at the results. Okay, but in many cases it's not like that in today Nigeria. It's not like that. So you can't you have to find good people. If you get those people you know can deliver and recommend them. I bet you only a little percentage will be accepted, because most times in Nigeria, what is driving our economy and politics is just interest. That's the problem we have. It's not to change from one system to the other. Okay, we had the NEPA, now it's power holding. We had the Nigerian prison, today it's correctional center. But the facilities and the attitude are the same. When you make a new law. Okay, if you think that the solution to a problem is to enact a new law, but those who will operate that law are the same old minds, you will get old results. A new law operated by old minds will have old results.
Are you saying that also in the political space, if we have the same people who have been running office for years return or remain in the system, then we're not going to go anywhere?
But you know that more than I do. You don't know what
2023 is around the corner, and you know the tables are beginning to shake.
Can we talk about the church?
Okay, a convention has to play, but we'll take some questions based on some of the things you've said. In the studio with me this morning is Justice of Peace and Right Reverend Okechukwu Precious Wala, Bishop, Diocese of HA. When is in our library. Stay tuned.
We take off with the biggest conversations with an exchange of opinions and ideas on the Morning Crossfire. Settle you into your day when we say hello, Port Hackett.
Take you on a ride to the sunny side of life.
Hover a bit while picking at the details on hard facts.
Take a detour through the exciting world of sports.
And get back on track with Let's Talk.
Land you safely as we chit-chat into the morning on Chat Station. And then do it all over again on your number one talk, news, and sports radio station, 92.3 Nigeria Info.
This is the Morning Crossfire on 92.3 Nigeria Info.
The conversation continues. I've got my guest with me, the Bishop of Eche Diocese Anglican Communion. And is Right Reverend Okechukwu Precious Wala. Thank you again, sir, for your time.
Thank you.
But there's a comment here from Hector. We started with, you know, the church and, you know, politics and, you know, education and all that. Hector says churches and clergymen should stop allowing politicians to climb their pulpits for political speeches and campaigns. He referenced something that happened in 2019 in Rivers State, and he says if churches continue to allow that, I think they will lose their morality and credibility. So if a person comes, you say there are different reasons why politicians have to be in churches at different times and they want to say something. Like Hector said, do you think it's time that the church stopped them completely from climbing the pulpit to speak?
First of all, the politicians do not climb pulpit. There are different platforms in church. Okay. We have a place where anybody can stand, even you. When you come to church and there is a need for you to speak, there are criteria for allowing people to speak in church. So there is a place in Anglican church, for example, we have where we call reading desk. That is where you, from where somebody can lead worship. Yeah. Okay, we have the chancel, the altar is part of the chancel where the priest stay. We have the pulpit from where we preach, okay. And we have the lectern from where notices are given in church. Okay. If a political leader comes to church and there is need, it is not all the time that they come to church they speak. Okay. There are occasions where there is need. For example, I just told you, if there is an independent service or a service of the what we call the legal year service, these are government services, and the church provides a platform for worship for them.
Okay, so
in such an occasion, if there is need for the chief judge or the commissioner or the governor to speak or the president to speak, he speaks from the lectern, not the pulpit.
So for you, the lectern or pulpit will determine the strength of the word?
No, because, you know, some areas are designated for preaching of the word of God.
Secret.
Yeah. You can, for example, ask governor to... The pulpit is from where the word of God is preached, nothing else.
So nobody stands there?
Apart from the man appointed by the church to do so, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So in essence, we cannot... There will be no time in history when church will ban politician from either worshiping or speaking, but they can't speak all the time.
Okay, and you're speaking specifically about the Anglican Communion now?
Yeah, sure.
Okay,
because every church, church. No, madam. I don't feel comfortable when people try to tie the problem of society to church. A political office holder could speak in the campaign. He could speak, for example, after the legal year service, they have court session or something. He could speak from there. It's not only from church that speak. Okay. They speak.
Right.
And every church, there is no church that the president will come to River State and say, I want to come and worship. And they say, no.
All right, let's have a question. Good morning. Let's hear you.
Oh, good morning, Sistani. Hello.
It's Nigeria. It's Nigeria Info. Good morning.
Nigeria Info. Yeah. Good morning. Good morning, my sister. Please, as a follow up to what people are discussing, you see, I have traveled far and near in this nation called Nigeria, and I have also had politicians, you know, be in church services. You know, I have not traveled the whole of this country. I've traveled at least 6-7 states and have been in locations where governors, presidents, you know, visit churches. I discovered that without prejudice, well, you didn't make mention of any politician, but I have to point out the peculiar thing I've noticed since I came to this river state. The governor, this present governor of River State, always, you know, talking politics in the church, and it's a heresy, you know, in the Bible. I mean, in the Christendom, that a politician will come to church, and the church will give him an altar of God, and we are talking politics, and we know how dirty politics is. Just like what he was discussing yesterday at the church service. Was that justice?
Okay, politics is not dirty. It's the players. The game. Every game is a game. It's those that play that do whatever they want to do. But there's a question here that I would like you to respond to. Says an Anglican bishop tells congregants in Delta State that no PVC, no Holy Communion. Please ask your guests if you're supporting the bishop.
No PVC.
No communion.
No Holy Communion.
Is that taking
well,
it too far?
Well, I think that the bishop is going, is taking to the A string. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's good. That is why I said, you know, we should look at issues in context. You know, you don't just say because it's church. Supposing the governor, you know, was passing and saw a crowd and stopped.
But there's something about the church, and we're very religious people, so I'm sure you understand where they're coming from.
Yeah, no problem. Let me get done with this. The church also carry out political awareness. For example, what the bishop is doing now is to encourage people to vote, because, you know, part of our problem is that voter apathy of a thing. People believe that whether you vote or not, those who win, will win. And that is corruption in itself. The fact that you believe that whether you vote or not, anybody who wins, will win. That perception is corrupt in itself, because it now makes you to lose hope, and then you give room for the bougies to continue to do what they are doing. And when somebody does not qualify, when somebody steals a property, it doesn't handle that property the way the owner who worked for it will handle the property. So what the church does is to ensure that we don't have this generalized opinion that our political system is bad, our electionary system is bad, so it can just relax. So he's trying to ensure that members get the PVC and vote, but I think he's going too far.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, let's hear you.
Yes, thank you, Anna, for bringing his lordship on air. Yes, my question is, according to the bishop there, he said that the church, and he was using business as example. And my question, like the previous caller said, has church become a place where a businessman, according to him, will come and market his goods? And then a politician, whether in the pulpit, not in the pulpit, will now come and begin to play his politics. Will our worship remember what Jesus Christ did when they turned his holy place into a marketplace? Please, Lordship, we want to hear emphasize on this. Thank you,
Chike Daniele Mogeto Zako. Well, I have said before that there are rules. Every game has a rule. The Bible has prescriptions. We have standards. There are doctrines of the Bible. Even during the time of Jesus, Jesus himself, you see, the Bible, Jesus said, "Have I not called you 12? Okay, but one of you is a thief." But Jesus did not kill him. He walked with that thief till the last hour. In the temple, he knew.
Till the thief killed himself.
He knew. What is important is that, like I said before, the church should be judged. Any church, including myself, I should be judged from the point of view of my message. I should be judged from the point of view of what I do after I have preached. But I am not responsible for what you do with what I say, I preach. Okay, so if the church now decides to, there can be an abuse. Okay, if the church becomes too political, maybe begin to be partisan, you can blame the church. But if a chief executive of a country or a state has the privilege of coming to church, you cannot stop him. But like I said, whatever they say, they are responsible. But if the church also, you know, there is a way the church will do it. You know that the church has interest. For example, if it is not necessary, because the governor, for example, cannot come to church and start talking. There are occasions, it is not every time he comes to church, he speaks. No, there are occasions that he has. In fact, if he does not speak, people will wonder that service is not complete. Because if you are holding a state service and the governor does not speak, it's not because service is not complete, because it's their service. Now, for example, if you now come to our church, you are wedding is a personal thing. Wedding is your occasion. It's the privilege you have as a member of the church to solemnize your marriage in church. Baptism is your personal thing. That is why when you finish, church gives you the hall, you do your reception. What you do in your reception, church is not responsible. The church can query you. if you abuse their property.
Yeah, so does the church query political leaders?
We do. I have gotten into so many problems. In fact, ask questions behind me. I have gotten into so much problem working as a bishop because I look at politicians to their face and say, what you are doing is wrong. Many of them have maligned me. I have been fought, you know. I don't know.
Okay. Have you also been fought by the church and by other church leaders?
Let's not go there. We are talking politics now.
Let's not go there. Okay, so how would you advise those who want to follow in your footsteps, those who are being told you're too young to run, either in any field? What would you say to them?
First, get your priorities right. Examine your motive. What drives your motive? You know, what is your motivation? Make sure your motivation is right. Because, you know, if your motivation is wrong, you may not get too far. But if your motivation is right, and you can always go back to God and say, God, here I am. I don't have any strength of my own. If you saw me as a young person and called me, you're able to sustain me. God will lead you through. Now, when you begin to succeed by the grace of God, many of those who say you are young will begin to align with you. But if you fail, because already nobody gave you a chance, the 70% of the opportunity, of the privileges or people around believe you will not succeed because you are young. So you have a task ahead of you to be determined, to be focused. So when you now succeed, your credibility and the future of your career to a great extent lie in your success.
All right, final question on this matter of the future of Nigeria. We've heard many religious people, leaders say, oh, there's hope for Nigeria. What are your thoughts?
Well, I believe there is hope for Nigeria. I believe that God will intervene someday in Nigeria. How he will do it, I don't know. There's a saying that the darkest hour before the day, the darkest hour of the night is that before the morning. And in history, you know, God has not changed. He changes situations, he changes method, but essentially does not change. When it became too difficult in Egypt, when the people of Israel were in Egypt, Bible said God remembered his covenant with Abraham because the people also intensified their prayers. I believe that what's happening to us today, part of it is our fault. And people have woken up. If everything is well, people will not be praying. People are praying now, and I know that God will intervene. How he will do so, I don't know. But again, God does not work for us. God works with us. So God can give us a solution. It's our responsibility to catch into it and make so every Nigerian has a duty to a responsibility. We must change our ideology. We must change our thought. We must change our behavior towards the country. There is this, you know, the air of Nigeria is corrupt. Everybody, see, you know, I was shocked. My youngest child, who is about 15 or something, 15, 16 now. One day she woke up and said, Daddy, I will not work for Nigeria. I was so shocked. What's the problem? She said, the country is bad. So when they go to school, they discuss. So even at that tender age, everybody want to leave Nigeria. No, it's not going to be so. God will use us. We must begin to do things differently. From if you're a market woman, you're a conductor, you're a priest, let us do something. Don't say that pastors are corrupt. No. You don't be corrupt. Let us change our attitude towards this country. Nigeria is a wealthy. See, even with the present economic problem we have, we are still wealthy. We are still very wealthy. Okay? I was in a funeral on Saturday. We buried Regina Mwabeke, one of our elders in the Obiteche. Somebody close to me was discussing, and he said he bought his 35,000 naira. And then at that time, dollar was 3 naira 50 kobo per dollar, and the bank selling was 6 naira per pound. Some people tell you that the dollar was 2 naira. Some will tell you that Nigerian naira was even at par. At a point, okay, what has happened? Those things that made the economy strong that are still here. I was reading a paper a few weeks ago. The governor of Kaduna State, El-Rufai, was quoted as saying that the gold deposit in Benin-Gwari area of Kaduna State is more than the entire gold deposit in the Republic of South Africa. Why are we not developing our solid minerals? Why is Nigeria focusing only on oil? That is the problem. So we need leaders. and citizens who will be selfless. Look at Rwanda. Rwanda was, there is naturally no reason why Rwanda should be a strong economy today. Just 1994, they were destroyed, completely destroyed. Somebody came and decided to be the tribal, because part of the problem in Rwanda was actually the issue of tribal sentiment. He came and made up his mind to make sacrifice. Rwanda is one of the best economies today in Africa.
Yeah.
Nigeria is much, much better. So everybody, not just the government, as of today, people will not believe it, but that is the truth. The country is divided along political line, ethnic line. You see, certain government policies tailoring towards favoring certain religion. Very obvious. They may deny, but that is the truth. So we need God to raise people who really love this country. And every citizen, don't say because when they enter there, they carry. So you are also contesting election, so you can go and carry. No. Do something. In this studio right now, do something different. In my church, let me do something. Let us instill good morals to our children. Nigeria will survive by the grace of God.
All right. Thank you very much for your time.
You.
Right, Reverend Okechukwu, Precious Wala JP.